from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now the show has begun.
Half an hour of laughter beckons, every minute packed with seconds.
Yes, join your course, Dick Benson, Professor Jimmy Edwards are in session again and fully booked for the next 30 minutes. Also on hand are Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean and the keynote, and Frank Cantor is here with the augmented review orchestra. So, if you've got half an hour, more or less, clear?
Joy, joy. I've just had the most extraordinary note from Bentley. Here, I'll read it to you. It says, just found I have a temperature of 116. I'm going to stay in my collapsible bed till it falls. Break the news to England. Yours respectfully, Richard E. Bentley.
I wonder what the E is for.
Elizabeth. His outlet was very wealthy.
Aye.
Oh, poor Dick. 116 degrees. Do you think he caught a chill in the studio last week?
Well, it could be. After the show, lots of people were commenting it wasn't so hot.
I don't think they were talking about the studio. Oh, Jimmy, we must go over to Dick. Do you know where he lives?
Well, the last address I had for him was a big block in Park Lane.
Grenville Court?
Oh, no, this was a road block. Bentley had the watchman's hat.
Well, wait, I've got his address somewhere. He wrote me a letter the other week. Is this the one? Dear Joy, I know you have many calls on your generosity. That's the one. And here's the address. Come on, let's go.
Well, here we are. You find the door while I tip the sound effects boy.
Well, this is the place. See the card outside? R. Bentley, raconteur, singer, dramatic actor, and sewing repairs neatly executed. Well, let's go in.
Well, we're in. Which is the bedroom? Ah, this is it. The one that doesn't open. Good gracious, Joy. Look who's lying in the bed. It's Harvey.
It's not Harvey. I just happen to be wearing my Angora bed jacket. Fascinating thing. Look, when I blow along it, it makes a little pathway. Oh, I'm so glad you two have come.
Of course we've come, Dick. You're our oldest friend.
Thank you.
Yes, we've got friends we've known longer, but you're the oldest.
Now, what's this about a temperature of 116?
True, Joy. I make a practice of taking my temperature every morning. Oh, well, to a man like me, it's essential.
Yeah, he has to make sure he hasn't died in the night.
Well, I don't believe you've got a temperature of 116. Oh, how do you feel in yourself?
Sort of weak, listless. Everything seems to be going dark.
Bentley, your nightcap has slipped over your ear. Your eyes.
Oh, I knew I should have got one with a peak. Jimmy, I had a feeling I was sickening.
Yeah, you've never been anything else.
Oh, look, when I was traveling back to Manchester, I had a dull sort of ache creeping over me.
Well, did you feel it all the way down?
No, only as far as Crewe Junction.
This might be serious. Bentley, you should have treatment.
Oh, I know. I was going to rub my chest, but the doctor said he'd send a young nurse round to do it.
So you didn't rub your chest?
No, I rubbed my hands. But everybody's been so kind. As soon as they heard I'd taken to my bed, the keynote sent me a useful book. I've just got up to the chapter called When to Cut Out the 10 O'Clock Tea.
Personally, Bentley, I think you're a hypochondriac.
Well, that is not true. I've never stolen anything from a shop in my life.
Bentley, hypochondriac, it means a person who always thinks he's ill. I know that's a difficult word for you, so I'll spell it. I-L-L. Now then, we'll soon find out. Ah, here's the doctor's thermometer.
Oh, thank you. Oh, good, it's a brand new one. Now, come on, Dick, put it between your teeth.
Okay, I'll just go in the lounge.
Oh, Dick, you don't have to be shy.
Who's shy? That's where my teeth are.
Now, shove it in your mouth, Bentley, and don't make a fuss.
No.
Hold his head up, Joy.
Okay.
Oh. All right, Binky, you are a baby.
Yeah.
Joy, dip it in the treacle first.
Okay, not my head, the thermometer. Oh, that's better.
You know, I'm not surprised at the ill, Jimmy. Look at the life he leads. He's always hanging around nightclubs till dawn.
I know. It wouldn't be so bad if they let him in. Now, let's see what the thermometer says.
No, let me see. Oh, look, Jimmy, it's just the same as it was this morning.
Well, let me look. Get up and get to work, you miserable malingerer.
Oh, no, look, Jimmy, that's 116, isn't it?
No, you clop, that's the price, 11 and sixpence.
Ah, that singing really sends me.
You don't believe him. At his age, he just lies there and sends somebody else.
So we come to our Mirror of the Week. How about some news items, huh?
Oh, here's one. There's a probability that James Mason will be returning from Hollywood. I wonder what they said to James to tempt him back.
Come on, Jim. All is forgiven.
Oh, hello, Wallace. Are you still trying to get Jimmy to leave the show?
But for his own good, Miss Anne. It's not as if this concert you do is original.
What do you mean, not original?
Well, I heard it last Thursday night, and you did exactly the same jokes I heard another crowd do 8 o'clock last Tuesday. Then I'm sitting down listening Sunday tea time, and blow me down if there's not another three chopping it out word for word the same corny...
Wallace, we happen to have repeats.
I'm not surprised. It's enough to upset anybody. Oh, give it up. You learn a trade. If you've got a trade and there's a good strike on, at least you've got a chance to join in. Now, take Reg Earlshaw. He's got a job in a big department store. He's a sucker. He's a sucker? Yeah. You know, when you want change in a department store, the salesman puts your money in a little canister, pops the canister in a tube in the wall, and it's drawn up to the county now. Well, Red sits at the other end of the tube, and he goes... and up it comes.
Well, it sounds delightful. But I don't fancy spending the rest of my life going...
You don't have to. There's such a thing as promotion, you know. After a year, you get shifted to the down tube. And then you go... Oh, Reg would have qualified for that, but he had a bit of bad luck.
How so?
Well, he was too conscientious.
The salesman puts a $10 note in the canister, and old Red gave a particularly hearty... swallowed the lot. He's been in hospital all week. The salesman, he stayed by his bed all the time.
And what's the latest fortune?
No change yet. Jim, boy, your loved ones are waiting to make a sucker out of you. Come home, Jim Edwards.
Year out of the week. Monday the 24th was United Nations Day. Tribe supporter was sent to sound public reaction, and he was fortunate in getting the opinions of an old friend.
Miss Arundel, what views have you to offer on people getting together for a common purpose?
You'd better ask Gilbert. He's my boyfriend. He's a great one for getting together, and goodness knows his purpose is common enough. Not that he's...
Right. But my topic is the United Nations organization. Does Gilbert ever think about, you know?
He never thinks of anything else. So it's all entirely innocent and harmless, I'm reluctant to admit, because...
Miss Arundel, I'm not interested in Gilbert. It was only international cooperation that devalued the pound and stabilized the franc. What has Gilbert done to compare with this?
He overstepped the mark.
This Tuesday is the date set for the auction of the contents of J. Arthur Rank's Islington and Limegrove Film Studios. Many famous names will be recalled at this film auction, including A. Hitchcock, S. Box, M. Balkan, and...
Oh, maybe. I'm going to risk a fourpenny bid for Jane Kent. Oh, look, there's Kieran Muir and Christine Norden. They write Take It From Here, you know. I must say, I'm glad I managed to get you the dress that Marjorie Lockwood wore in The Wicked Lady. Mavis, don't be such a prude. You can always wear it back to front. For accessories, I advise something simple. That 17th century cameo brooch with the engraved portrait of Dick Duggan on his motorbike. Oh, Mavis, you will look like a veritable moaning miser. I can just see your bare shoulders gleaming softly like cats in a darkened bathroom.
This week, a popular magazine publishes its 1,000th crossword puzzle. These puzzles are becoming increasingly popular. But how many people give a thought to the backroom boys of the crossword world, the crossword puzzle compilers, the people who make up the clues? As one would expect, they lead a checkered life.
Debbie, today you wrote your 1,000th crossword puzzle. But have you considered me? Selfish, that's what you've been. Selfish to the center of an apple. As it happens, I love another man, Richard. Also a crossword puzzle writer.
He hasn't got a clue. He's just a clumsy coagulated cream and rhymes with flop.
But he loves me, and he'll lay the world at my...
Everybody has two of them.
He's waiting outside now.
Beatrice, I had to come in. It started raining, and I got soaked to the anagram of Nick.
Ah, I understand you wish to leave with my wife.
Yes, I love Beatrice deeply. I love her with all my... middle of a cabbage.
How can you love her? I know she used to be slim, but look at her now. 48 across. And just look at the way she wears her stockings. One down. What do you want to take her away for? For what purpose?
Well, the idea is...
Black Square, Benson!
Greetings, gentlefolk. Our film this week is suggested by an immortal book of Rider Haggard. The suggestion comes from a namesake of his, Mr. Rider Cockhorse of True Banbury Cross. The book is Steve, the story of a beautiful being who is reputed to be ageless. No, not Ivan Novello. Just a white goddess, Aisha, I think. That will be changed later. Who ruled a nation for more than 1,000 years. Herbert Morrison is very interesting.
Wake up at the back there, will you?
Now, to attain this remarkable age, every now and then, she would go to a place called the Fire of Immortal Youth, and she'd come out a beautiful girl of 18. A mere legend, you say? But many modern scientific research workers spend all their time searching for the same thing.
The Immortal Fire?
No, a beautiful girl of 18. In type version, she, or Aisha, is played by doe-eyed girl so-called because she's always got an eye on the dough. See her as the legendary ageless white queen of Africa.
Though I am 1,000 years old, I am still a woman. On my passport, I only put 800. This sacred spot was discovered by the Inca. But do I worry about the Inca spot? You can bet your life I do.
In any endeavor to be true to the spirit of the author, our romantic lead is a real haggard character. Yes, it's Richard Bentley. The man who contributed to the success of the film Under Capricorn. He supplied the call. He plays Leo, the daring young adventurer who led the search for the white goddess.
I am going to Africa with an old lion came out. His name is Claude Bottom.
Ah. Well, I care not for the terrors of the jungle. When danger looms, I shout for joy.
George!
I myself play Holly, his guardian. Together we find the hidden city of Kor, where Africa is darkest. Hence the expression, Kor strike a light.
That was a good one, was it not?
Yes, it was. So, to our film. If you have not already read this wonderful book, we hope our adaptation will make you run to the library. No, wait, not yet. Come back! Oh, you dozy lot. After! Ladies and gentlefolk, we present Africa Sweet, or Aisha, That's My Baby.
It is London, 1885. Holly leaves his baker's in Chambers Street and goes back to his chambers in Baker Street. He opens the door.
Hold on, the queen, my boy. The quick. Wait, who's standing there in the shadow?
Tis I. Do you not recognize me by gaslight?
You're not Annie.
No. No, that's my brother. Sir, sir, I have come to bid you adieu. Tomorrow, I sail for foreign shores.
What shores?
Africa. Must be a funny alignment. Yes, I go off on an odyssey to see the legendary white goddess. Oh, see this map?
Yes.
This is my chest. Yes. I start here, then up here through the hill country. And from here to here on foot.
Oh, yes.
Step here to fill up my water bottle. And set up a hut in encampment here.
Yes. Well, that brings you as far as Holborn Viaduct. Lad, lad, be careful. You have no idea of the terrors that beset the traveler then cross the dreaded valley of the Ukongo.
Ukongo. That's the name that haunts my dream. Ukongo.
With its howling beasts, its unspeakable horrors.
Ukongo.
Well, lad.
Ukongo, I'll stay here.
Nay, lad, it's together we'll go. And I will look after you as I promised your mater. That's your father, you know. Besides, when it comes to Africa, I know the terrain. A terrain we can journey together.
Which terrain is that?
You and I on the 545. To Africa!
Meanwhile, in my hidden city of Kor, the news was brought to me on the grapevine. Peeling off a grape, I hastily scanned it. Two white men were approaching. Could one of these be the mate that fate had me created for? I wandered through the city and listened to the cannibals talking among themselves.
I tell you, I don't know what to make of my wife.
Well, I'll lend you my cookery book.
Eagerly, I followed the progress of the two white men through the jungle. They were now in Japonica, check the country. Keeping one hand warily on their gag books, they trekked nearer. Holly with his big bowie knife and Leo with his short bowie legs.
October 15th, raining steadily. My native bearer, Sloppy Draws, was bitten by the dreaded steamed tapioca. Dosed him with quinine. Then quinate, quinseven, quinsix, and so on in ever-decreasing doses until his fever abated. In the meantime, he died.
October 17th, spitting all day. Weather bad, too. On and on I bore.
You certainly do. Then one day, I was standing under a bread fruit tree, having a loaf. when a cry rang through the jungle.
Hole! Hole!
I knew it was either Leo shouting or Edmundo Ross finishing a number. Then the two white men burst through the undergrowth and stared at me.
A woman alone in the jungle. Gad!
A woman alone in the jungle.
Good.
Stay, O men. I am she who must be obeyed.
Dr. Summerfield, I presume.
No. No, I am a yes, sir.
Oh, that's how you do it.
Yes. Oh, man, you come on a happy occasion. I am 1,000 years old today. I was just about to blow out the candles on my birthday cake, but the heat beat me back.
1,000 years old. It's incredible. Oh, incredible. I'm thunderfounded. The people you must have known. Bentley's mother. Socrates. Plato.
Galileo. Copernicus.
Copernicus. Oh. Copernicus. Bentley, you're a clutch.
Yes.
Julius Caesar. Genghis Khan.
He married Rita, you know.
She's even so. But 1,000 years weigh heavy when one is alone. It is written that one day my mate would come. Oh, man, it is thee. Come kiss me, oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, girl.
Oh, boy.
For one ecstatic moment, their mustaches locked. Seizing a crowbar, I prized them apart. Leo's eyes had a wandering, wistful look, like Kevin O'Connor at a Donald Sears concert. I shook him. He was as one in a daze.
Oh, another kiss. Oh, you lovely, lovely.
Leo, put me down. Have you gone absolutely starkers? You're an Englishman. As I told you on the ship, you cannot throw up everything like this.
Well, you choose to cross the sea who must be obeyed. Seize them. Oh, man, I give you till this evening to decide whether you go through the immortal fire with me. And if you refuse, you suffer the death of 1,000 cuts.
Madam, where I come from, we are not scared by 1,000 cuts. Oh, you unpredictable people. They do it. They do it to our script every week.
I had them flung into the prison house and listened with ears akimbo. I had intimated to them that if they wished for a palaver, I would knit them one. Far into the night, they argued.
Well, now, if I do go through the fire, I was made young. And if I don't, we're going to be eaten. I've seen tomorrow's menu. It says Edward Roly-Poly. Followed by cold Bentley with pickles.
Wilfrid Poulet. Wilfrid Poulet. Yes. Surely his most embarrassing experience. In that case, you must get in. Tell she, or should I say tell her, that you are willing to go through the rejuvenating flame. We must convey the message to Aisha.
Let me. I found somebody who can speak pidgin English.
A native?
A pidgin.
So we made our journey to the plain of eternal youth. Our way lay across a great chasm which yawned in front of us like a huge audience. There, suddenly in a cave, was the fire.
Courage, lad. This is your testing moment. Only one thing can stop you from displaying great heroism.
What's that?
You're dead, Windy boy. That woman is entering the flame now.
Oh, it's lovely. Leo, are you coming to bathe in the flame with me? Tuesday night is mixed bathing.
In a minute, it's hot in there.
But, baby, it's cold outside. There, I am rejuvenated. Once more, I am as I was at 18. Now, Leo, you enter.
He is entering the fire. He is bathing its lambent caress.
Look at the flames licking him.
Oh, it's agony. Terrible to stand here and watch my friend flicker.
Now he's stepping out. The years have slipped off him. Oh, Leo, are you ready now to be my lover through the ages? What say you?
Give me a satchel, Mama. I'll be late for school.
The augmented BBC review officer bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week, and thank you.
Bye.